It's Wednesday, July 28th. Welcome to episode 56 of Digital Outbox. Hello and thanks for joining us once again. Tonight on the show we have Chris.
Hello, Ian. Hello.
Hello. That was a nice overlap. Very professional.
Yeah, I know. It's a good start to the day.
It's a good start. And we also have nobody else. Which is either a good thing.
Do we smell?
Well, speak for yourself.
If we do smell, we've got to smell across a large distance.
I have been sweating profusely tonight.
Lovely.
But I have hence showered.
Hence showered.
That doesn't really make sense either. So we did debate before doing this that this we're not in the best of kind of minds tonight.
Yeah, it's already 9:15 at night, and we're old now, so we need our bedtime.
You wanted to watch the drug treat and see if he gets a gold, and thankfully the Frenchman won.
The skinny white Frenchman won the 100 metres. It was incredible.
And it's not because he's skinny or white that I'm glad he won. It's just that at the moment, he's not been found guilty of taking drugs.
But our other English guy, that's not very good, is it? I should know who it is, really. He won second. I think he got silver.
You think?
Yeah. Well, they're all still deciding it. We never watched the actual official results. Anyway, so, something else we discussed before, Ian, was we were going to beg for some more iTunes reviews before we actually got going, rather than waiting right to the end.
Mark Lewis Francis.
That's the one.
Dwayne Chambers was fifth.
There you go. Wow. It was very blanket, wasn't it?
The drugs don't work. I said it before, say it again. Banned for life.
Before you get on your high horse. Anyway, so if you haven't already given us a review on iTunes, if you haven't given us a review on iTunes, we would very much appreciate it. If you could, it does our podcast a world of good. So please, if you could, that'd be good.
And the only reason we're doing it at the start and the end is because if you manage to get to the end of tonight's podcast, you deserve a bronze award.
If you get to the end of tonight's podcast and still give us a good review, maybe, you know, that would be awesome.
First story. Ofcom, broadband's broken promises. And for some reason, every time I read that, I want to say Brokeback instead. So I'm glad I got through that.
Well done.
No surprise here. The Ofcom report into kind of the current speeds of broadband in Britain is fairly damning. 97%, and this is for some services, 97% of consumers do not get the advertised speed. It shows a growing gap between the claims ISPs make for broadband and the speed being delivered. So average residential broadband speed in the UK has risen from 4.1 meg to 5.2. Not exactly stellar.
No.
Virgin came out excellent, actually. So for its 10 meg service, the average speed is 8.6 to 9 meg.
Which is, I mean, for an average speed, that's spot on. I mean...
Well, that's what I mean. I've got to be honest, but when I was with Virgin, I did find that, you know, if you're on 10 meg or you're on, you know, 20 meg, you did tend to get very close to that speed. And just for a certain period of time, I was an island.
Yes, you were Irish.
The best ADSL provider came out to be O2.
Which has been consistent for a fair while now, hasn't it?
Yeah, so they were actually they had the fastest slow speed, if that makes sense. See, in my head, that made perfect sense.
No, it did make sense, yeah.
They basically compared the up to 8 meg services from a wide range of providers, and they were 4.3 to 5 meg for their up to 8 meg service.
I mean, this argument's been bubbling away for ages now, because they were all going on about how up to is, you know, was an overused term or whatever. But I don't see what other term you can use which describes what they offer, which is they will connect you at the fastest speed they can up to, and then an ever-increasing highest possible speed. So they'll connect up to 20 megabytes. Okay, that might only mean you get 5 on your particular line, but I don't see the confusion here, really.
Well, Well, see, for some of these services, I'm saying up to eight. Most people, the quickest they ever get is maybe 6.5 or 7. So why don't they just say up to 7?
Because that's not strictly what it is. I mean, and also if it averages that people are going to get 5, do they just say 5 megabyte broadband when it's, you know, some people might get quicker? I think it makes sense the way it is now.
Is there anything wrong with them saying there's a 5 meg service, because that's what most people get? And if you get better than that, then wahey, well done.
Only because that's not describing the service as it is. And I think what their term as they've got it now does describe the service as it is. You know, people aren't, I mean, effectively, most broadband providers now have one package, which is, you know, their one broadband service or whatever. And okay, you might have different download limits for different options, but the top speed is no longer the thing you go for. You don't pay any more for, 8 megabit broadband as you probably do for 20 megabit broadband.
You do.
Not sure you do. I mean, most things I've seen recently is they connect you at the fastest speed they can, and the price is the same. It's just download limits that seem to vary more.
Okay. I'll take your word for it, because it's been a long while since I've actually looked at the price. I'm sure for things like Sky and O2, it was like, you know, a fiver for up to 8, and for up to 20, it was a tenner or whatever. So. I will never question you again.
I think you better.
The one thing that came out, Virgin, as we already said, looking very good, and fibre seems to be the future, is the general feeling.
Because it's a more modern technology closer to your door, basically.
Exactly. No big surprise, and it'll be interesting to see how the 100 meg service at Virgin have been talking about to be delivered this year. It'll be interesting to see how that works out.
And I would be confident, based on this, that they'll get the speeds. Whether they can sustain the amount of downloading people want to do, that's a different matter.
Oh, just 100 meg is just... I mean, that's phenomenal. I mean, you'll be downloading, you know, HD telly in mere minutes.
I don't think it's just about downloading stuff. I think it's about the amount of streaming that you can get done. Say, if you can stream multiple channels, and I think I've said it before, if you can have the equivalent of the Sky Plus box via our internet provider, that's pretty impressive stuff.
Yes. So, moving on. Mm-hmm. WikiLeaks, which we've mentioned before. And this is basically the biggest leak ever. The Afghan War Diary, 90,000 leaked coalition documents from the Afghan War were leaked this week.
Yeah, I'm sure our listeners have probably heard this in the news, because it has been a big news, you know, front page news story for a while now. But WikiLeaks kind of disappeared for a little bit briefly. I think they got taken down, was it temporarily?
Well, it's not so much that they were taken, I don't think it was so much they were taken down. I think as they have become more and more popular, they've been getting more and more traffic, and hence struggling to serve up. I mean, if you visited their site through the week...
That was it. They wanted some funding, didn't they?
They wanted some funding. And, I mean, the guy that runs it, or who started it, is Julian, and I'm sure it's Assange it's pronounced. And he did a TED Talk, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, but it did appear on the TED website last week. Very interesting. And I think even after he appeared... He was, there were attempts made to actually apprehend him. Just from previous leaks. Because you remember the one of the leaks they did before was the gunship footage. So there's still a bit of I think in America, I don't know whether there's an actual live charge against him, but I think there were attempts to grab him after his TED Talk, but it wasn't. But he just talked about how the site, they had issues with funding, and actually just scaling properly, you know, just because as it's become more and more popular, and I'm sure this week it's probably went through the roof. What was interesting with this leak is that they actually gave it to 3 newspapers a few weeks in advance. So New York Times, The Guardian, and Der Spiegel.
Spreading their bets so that they couldn't be banned, I guess.
Yeah, I think so, but it also gave... It also gave newspapers time to actually analyse it, because 90,000 documents to actually go through and report on that properly takes time. Guardian, as usual, I think, kind of went the extra mile. They via their data blog, etc., put out a whole load of information in a lot more friendly format. So instead of just saying here's 90,000 leaked documents that you can sift through. They said, well, here's what we class as the 300 major incidents, and they mapped it on the map, so you could see exactly where all the attacks had been and where all the ID attacks had been, and there was an awful lot of information actually that's been hidden before. A lot of the attacks have obviously been covered up because they're not wanting to show just how many IED attacks there's been, for example.
So what's, I mean, the argument here is, I mean, the government's saying that we're putting lives at risk by leaking things like this, generally. WikiLeaks has sort of said that we covered up, we pre-vetted anything that got released so that there were no possibilities for people's lives to be put at risk. So what's, I guess the argument generally is WikiLeaks a good idea or not? Obviously, the government would rather it wasn't there, I guess. There any other outlet for this? This wouldn't have appeared anywhere else.
Exactly. And I don't think... I guess we'll never... I mean, we're not going to be in a position to know whether that data that's been leaked has put anybody's life at risk. I can't understand anything from the last 6 years making any difference. You know, I'm talking about operational difference over in Afghanistan. I just can't see what it does, apart from showing that our governments have been covering up incidents, have been covering up the news. We are, you know, we make great claims. I'm sure we do have a lot more freedom than many other countries around the world, but we are fed news, whether we like it or not. And I think that's why sites like WikiLeaks are always going to be important. You always need something that is truly independent, or else we will always be more and more controlled by state.
That sounds ominous.
No, I just think you do need something where things like that can be leaked out or can be publicised. Certainly during the TED interview, the founder was talking about how they've actually teamed up with Iceland, and they've just passed some law or some laws there that protect journalists, protect information or people that make information free. They've now got some of the most open laws in the world in Iceland. And it was this Icelandic government were very keen to bring this in.
Yep, and the whole argument, I guess, is that there's lots of organisations that have been beyond, you know, any kind of public scrutiny, and sometimes public scrutiny is the only way that you can affect change.
Absolutely. I mean, how many people were shocked when you saw the footage of the, you know, what that gunship was doing in Afghanistan, or I can't remember which one it was. And part of me feels it's like, well, maybe that's just what you're, if you are a soldier out there, you do probably get caught up in a very different world. You see things very differently.
Yeah.
You know, what we might be shocked at is commonplace. And I think there is on the TED interview, there was an argument placed that, you know, have you put at risk some of the soldiers or some of their families? You know, if people could be identified either via names or pictures or hearing somebody's voice, does it put them at risk? So there's always probably two sides to the story, but I'm all for WikiLeaks.
Yeah, agreed.
So moving on, the EFF victory against DRM this week. So Electronic Frontier Foundation had applied to the US Copyright Office, and they were basically looking for a number of exemptions against basically all around DRM, and actually won their case. So it is now, let's get this right. You can now jailbreak a mobile device such as an iPhone where DRM is used to prevent phone owners from running software of their own choosing. So you can now jailbreak.
So that's within, it's a right that you are allowed to do that to your own device, yeah?
Yep. You can, if you're a video remix artist, you can now break the DRM and DVDs in order to take short excerpts from mashups posted to YouTube and other sharing sites, as long as its use is non-commercial or educational.
So that kind of that's probably one of the most widest ones, maybe.
I thought that was the biggest one that came out. Yeah, yeah, and they also made it legal to unlock cell phones so that it can be used with any carrier. So Apple's been fighting the first one. The jailbreaking one was the one that they were really against, and they've been spending quite a lot of time and money to fight that.
And you can see what Apple's argument is, which is, you know, their product is so successful because it is a pristine environment which they control.
Exactly.
And by unlocking it, suddenly someone might pick up an iPhone that's been unlocked and had all this junk code put on it that doesn't work very well. So and they say that affects their whole product range.
What Apple have been very clear this week is that they've said, ignoring all the legality side of things, it voids your warranty. So you want to go ahead and do it, and something goes wrong, if you take it back to an Apple store and we realise that you've jailbroken it, you won't get anything from us.
I think the latest that I've been hearing on that is that that might not be the case. There may be, you know, there should be an option to, if something goes wrong with your hardware, then there should be an option they can reflash it back to standard.
And if you have jailbroken it, you can reflash back to standard, and they can't tell if you have jailbroken it. So, I still think the biggest one was the actual mashup ruling.
Which I was really surprised by, actually.
Yeah, and I think the only reason the Apple one was getting a mention was basically if you put Apple in your blog post title, you get hits.
You get more hits, yeah, 10 times
so
the hits.
Yeah. We've seen that from the iPhone 4 leak and Intenegate. You know, keep that going and you do get a lot of traffic.
Yeah.
And long term, we'll only know whether this should put the... So you get these DMCA takedown or removal requests in America, which is the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. I'm guessing a lot of the things that you've seen where YouTube videos disappear because they've used some sort of copyright.
Yeah, whether that be music or whether it be...
Yeah, but then I don't know, could it be argued if there's adverts running, even if it's YouTube adverts, that you're making money, even if it's YouTube making money? So I don't know.
There'll
always be an angle.
I think the first thing to quickly point out is the fact that this is America, and I think it's only one state in America at the moment, or maybe it's wider than that, but it is only America, so we're not talking Europe at the moment. But this does fly in the face of the whole direction that's been recently, which is landing on the side of the copyright holder, really.
Yes.
So maybe we're going to see this start spreading, but it is only one ruling, and it's very likely to make it to their high court, and that high court might reverse this decision.
Still shocked and surprised.
Yeah, yeah.
But in a good way.
Pleasantly surprised, yeah.
In a good way. Android updates. So we've had more and more Android news recently, and I guess no surprise, sales of Android-based phones have more than quadrupled in the UK during the most recent quarter.
Which surprised me. I mean, I don't know. The thing is that, for me, quadruple doesn't mean much.
Well, I'm seeing more people that have actually got Android devices.
Yeah,
talking
yeah,
about
I've
Android
got friends
devices.
That have got them now.
So sales were 3% in the first 3 months of 2010, if you looked at contract smartphone sales. But in the second quarter, they made up 13.2%. So again, we're probably playing with stats here, because for all we know, that the overall sales have dropped from, I don't know, 1 million to 500,000. Mm. And certainly a lot of people were probably realising, I mean, the iPhone 4 leak probably just killed every sale of an iPhone, with people wanting to wait until the new one comes out.
Yeah.
Apple did see its market share decline, and again, it's back to it's from 75% to 64% during the same period.
Again, all these are numbers for me, though, because, you know, how many have they sold? 3 million iPhones?
Well,
you know,
we're still, and it's what's happening at the moment is everybody's comparing iPhones to Androids, and there's obviously a lot. There's just been, it just seems to be every couple of weeks now, there's another Android phone out.
Yes.
And you only get one iPhone a year. So they're always going to outsell. Well, they've not up to now, but from now on, they're always going to outsell iPhones now. I just don't see any other way. I can't believe that all these other phones put together won't outsell an iPhone. It must do.
I think I still think it's going to take longer than this year.
I think that if you take the 3 million that Apple said last week they've sold in the month that it's been out, and you look at that works out, I think it worked out as 120,000 a day, and Google are already saying they're activating 160,000 a day Androids.
And I guess, you know, there are a lot of people that buy phone, you know, the iPhone.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
Again, they're not going to be buying another one now for 18 months because that's what their contract's for.
Yeah, maybe, but I still think that's Android will now be the market leader. They might not have the overall market share right now, but I think we'll give it a year, just because they're selling more. Samsung seems to be the new. I've written new hotness. Can't believe I wrote that.
I mean, like you say, things are moving so quick because, you know, yesterday it was the Desire, today it's the Samsung's being, you know,
So Samsung are the best. Yeah, Samsung are bringing, I think it's like 4 or 5 different Android devices. Mm. And they've actually been pretty smart. In the UK, they kind of quietly sent out free phones to Twitter users complaining about iPhone and drop calls, which I thought was very clever.
I'm going to start moaning about drop calls that I don't have.
And funnily enough, I did actually have a drop call, and I did actually tweet, that's my first drop call. Even better, I had a call Shaquille yesterday, iPhone to iPhone, and it dropped. I was in an area with bad reception, you know, where we work, but it did make me chuckle and then kind of secretly go, and they're also now running a Facebook competition because they say they've now ran out of, I don't know, they've not committed to how many devices they actually gave out. I mean, basically they were just tweeting people and saying, sorry to hear about your iPhone, we will send you a new Galaxy S.
It's clever stuff.
It's very clever, and probably in the grand scheme, doesn't cost, you know, if they had to compare it to running an advert on TV and saying, well, there's 100 phones we'll give away.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're running a Facebook competition now, and also I've been quite impressed with their adverts. I think these were only in America. And we can have a chuckle because we can look at this. Yet again, the power of the audio podcast strikes again. But it was a hello with the two L's replaced with the four signal bars.
Yeah.
So have a pop.
And I note that their four signal bars are full in the picture of the device.
Yeah, but they're not as fat as Apple ones.
The new fat bars, yes.
Well played, Android. It's definitely looking. You got yours yet? Have you made your mind up?
No, I'm still on simplicity. And I say I had an epiphany moment the other day, which was, why am I continuously wanting the next bit of hardware when I don't need it? You know, I play solitaire on my phone. That's it.
Huh?
I don't need. we do constantly, without thinking about it, keep going for the latest bit of hardware, don't we?
I'm a complete tart when it comes
on an
to that
endless
kind of
conveyor
stuff.
Belt, but it doesn't mean much at the end of the day because I don't. I mean, I hardly use my phone anyway.
That is a good point. And I will come on to the same point shortly.
I could probably have used a kin and been happy.
No, I bet you they're worth something now.
They probably are.
There'll be some crazy Microsoft collector that wants a kin. Some potentially boring news. So we'll try and do this quickly. Apple and Microsoft, it was their some big quarterly results last week.
They're making billions of dollars.
Billions! Mm-hmm. But Apple, I don't get Apple right now. They just seem to be doing, we can do anything, they can put anything out and it's just going to sell like hotcakes. So over 3 million iPads now, almost outselling Macs for that quarter. And bearing in mind, that was their biggest incredible Mac quarter ever.
I was going to say, I'm surprised they sell 3 million Macs every quarter. It's amazing.
Scary.
Yeah.
Absolutely scary. The sales for iPhone were superb, and that only included 2 days of iPhone 4. And they made scary billions of money. I didn't bother writing down how much it was, but they made loads. Interestingly, they can't actually make enough iPhone 4s and iPads. So LG can't make enough iPad screens. They're already saying it might actually hurt, you know, rolling out to other markets because they just can't make enough.
And LG aren't a small operation.
Nope.
You know, I mean, I guess that kind of display is tricky to put together.
So they're saying they're struggling to make it, but they'll do better next year. One interesting thing that did come out as well, that the white iPhones, they've kind of put these back a couple of times. They're now just saying there's more challenges and it's later this year they'll be available.
So there's been rumours that they haven't quite managed to get the right white colour that Apple are happy with or something. Manufacturing problems. And
seemingly they're now saying it's a display, but sure, the display is the same as the black one. Yeah. I don't understand.
It may be more that
version B.
Well, so that's B. What people are speculating that they're going to be. They don't want to release it until they've got a fix in place.
People put 2 and 2 together. The free bumpers run out September 30th, or they'll review it at that time. And they did kind of hint at that Q&A last week that there might be a hardware kind of fix that we might be able to do.
But I'm just, if they put out a version B, with your version A, would you not want the version B?
And part of me wants to say no. but then I'm probably a crazy man if I say that.
Yeah, because why would you put up with a device that's not as good as it could have been? I don't know. It's one of those things that, I guess if your phone works, it works, but if you're already getting dropped calls that you didn't get before and there's a fix out there, maybe they're going to make more trouble for themselves by putting out a version B than if they just leave it as it is.
Certainly the one thing that's happened is that the press around it, just everybody talking about it, it has calmed down.
Yes. Yes, because again, I guess because the people that had their phone realised that most of the time it just worked.
Yep.
Unless they tried to make it not work.
Yes. We also saw some Apple hardware updates very quickly on these. Speed bump and iMac and Mac Pros, nothing more to talk about there. Although there are now options to buy it with SSD drives, mm-hmm. which is quite interesting. Yep. But expensive SSD drives.
Well, the SSD drives, there's no such thing as a cheap one, but I guess Apple pushed the boat out.
Well, it was if you took the terabyte drive that you normally get and you wanted a secondary 256 meg SSD drive, it's £600.
250 gig, you mean?
Yeah.
I don't want a 250 meg drive.
Yeah. I did say I was quite tired.
Yeah.
They've brought out a 27-inch cinema display instead of the 24-inch, which does look lovely, but again, it'll be very, very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
The Magic Trackpad.
This is Apple's new little eye is now magic, isn't it? Everything's magical.
Pretty much everything's magical.
Including, if it can't be eyed, it's magical.
You know the best thing about the magical thing? See if you get Shaquille talking about it. It's magical. Just can't stop himself. So this is £60, this thing. And it's a trackpad that's probably about, I think it's about 1.5 or 2 times the size of the trackpad on a MacBook Pro, and it brings lots of multi-touch, and I just, at first I thought, ugh, but I'm seeing videos today that actually looks very, very nice.
I think it's one of those things, if you use it, maybe you'll figure that actually it is better than a mouse. I mean, we're so used to mice now though, aren't we?
I know, but do you think, so here's a question, do you think this is the potentially the chance to do something different?
Whether it completely replace a mouse, I don't know, but having the ability to manipulate things on screen via multi-touch, even as an addition to a mouse, sounds interesting.
Yeah, so they've brought out a driver update that allows you to do the kind of inertial scroll you get with the iPhones, you know, so you can mm-hmm. scroll and then just touch when you want it to stop, that kind of thing, which seems to work very well. And I've seen a video tonight that what I found when I used to use the MacBook, I used to find, see, selecting text, it was never as easy with a trackpad as it is with a mouse. Mm. You can now, there's this crazy three-fingered swipe, so you can three fingers swipe and it selects it and it's very controllable, and it actually looked really easy to use. Danger for me, I'm on a mercy mission tomorrow to pick up an iPhone for a certain Frenchman that we know. And I might just have a go at one of these.
£60 though.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a lot of money.
Yep.
I mean, it makes more sense to me than these all-in-one units that have touch screens, you know, on a massive 24-inch screen. I think having a dedicated touch unit to manipulate stuff seems much better idea.
The only thing I'd really like is like the wireless keyboard. See if that had that as an add-on as well, so then I could use it from a Mac Mini sitting on the sofa.
Which makes more sense, doesn't it?
So,
I mean, the actual device, so the touchpad itself, is the same sort of form factor as the keyboard, isn't it?
Yeah, but then I've got remote control apps on the iPad now.
Yes.
Ah, oh, happiness is. But I can't not say what the biggest launch for the Apple hardware updates this week. It was the battery charger, which comes with 6 rechargeable batteries.
Right.
£25.
Right. I don't know how much a normal battery charger costs.
No die, but it just looks expensive.
It's silver.
It's magical. I wish they'd called it the magic battery charger.
To be honest, I think rechargeable batteries and chargers do actually cost a bit, so it's probably not that bad.
The magic charger. Well, it says it has the best. What was it I read? It has the lowest current draw when the batteries are finished charging. Some crazy stat. It's very green. Anyway, the Apple quarter, everybody said that's amazing. They're going to have a better quarter than Microsoft, first time ever. But they didn't. So Microsoft came out with their quarter and it was massive. Revenues up 22% to more than $16 billion.
This is that's at the, for a quarter.
That's a quarter.
$16 billion in a quarter.
Telling you, these
well,
software,
not so, they don't make it, they get in $16 billion.
It's phenomenal. It's absolutely phenomenal. So that was a bigger quarter than Apple. And a lot of the analysts were predicting like $14 billion. And at Apple, they were talking about maybe 13 to 14. So when Apple came out with their 15 and a bit, they thought, oh, wow, that's it. But a bigger quarter than Apple, and that's due to the phenomenal Windows 7 sales and also Office 2010. So obviously that
which haven't been an amazing sales as it happens, but I guess it all helps.
Yeah, yeah. And a strengthening economy, seemingly. Seemingly the economy is getting strong.
Yes, until they do the next level of cuts.
Oh, I don't see that.
Well, cynical me.
So Facebook have hit 500 million users. It's far easier to say that than very it was the millionth.
What were you fussing about, eh?
Exactly. So it was widely predicted that they announced it, and they put together a collection of stories that you can share with us about the impact Facebook and your friends have had on your life.
Oh, no.
So the Facebook stories launched, so you can go and share your story and read hundreds of others. And it was like,
why
no,
would people
I'd
share
rather
their
slit
story?
My wrist.
Unless you're promoting something, why would you share a story?
Well, you might want to share that you were best man at the weekend and it all went really well.
But that's nothing to do with Facebook.
And it was one of the happiest days of your life.
Nothing to do with Facebook.
Well, maybe. Anyway, it's 5.5 months.
But it was
months.
Good, and the weekend was good.
No, that's good to know.
Yeah,
the photos were excellent.
Yeah. Forget you can see all that shit. Oh, I said.
Yeah, but thanks to Facebook, I can. Yeah. So, 5.5 months since it hit 400 million. And it was around the same time to go from 300 to 400 million. So I think they're all pretty confident they will hit a billion at one point. Which is just scary.
Wow.
Absolutely scary.
Yeah, it is.
Even better, tonight, BBC News, details of 100 million Facebook users have been collected and leaked. So that's the big kind of, you know, grabbing headline.
It's a headline, but it doesn't seem to have any much substance behind the headline in that it seems like it's the first name, last name and Facebook ID of each of those users, which is fully searchable anyway by Facebook. So it seems like someone's just gone through and scraped out people's first name and last name.
And that very person is an online security consultant called Ron Bowles, who used a simple piece of code to collect the data from Facebook. It was then packaged up, and it's now on, right now it's on Pirate Bay and probably every torrent site and probably available in news groups and everywhere.
So, okay, so it's 100 million of the Facebook users' first names and last names. But when, you know, the headline says personal details, but they're other than your name, it really isn't anything special. No. And it's all freely available right when you sign
all
up to Facebook.
All freely available, and Facebook have said the same. People use Facebook, own their information, and have the right to share only what they want with whom they want and when they want. So they're saying the information is already freely available.
Yeah, it's no not like it's not like this person's got to details that you haven't made available anyway.
No private data is available or has been compromised. So non-event. I guess the only I guess if you're a Facebook user, you might be like, "Oh, my details have been leaked."
Well, just again, that's why the headline's there, isn't it?
Aye, because you won't understand it. You know that anybody can just go and find your you know your Facebook page and see all this content that you're sharing out. Right, I will now delve into the world of iPad and iPhone apps.
And as and everyone seems to be going on about this first iPad app to this week.
Oh yeah, Flipboard, yeah. Flipboard. So it all seemed to break at the same time. Robert Scoble put up a video and he said this was like the must have iPad application. Lots of other. And I think he had it for a few days, and a few other prominent tech sites and bloggers had it as well, but they must have all signed up to it. Don't release it until a certain date and time. Certainly all the stories came through in my Google Reader, and it was all at the same time they'd been published. They've kind of tagged it a personalised social magazine. And in some ways, When you start it up, it shows you a nice photo fading in, and you turn a page, and then you can hook into your Facebook and Twitter. So you sign into Facebook and Twitter accounts via this app, and then it displays that content rather than displaying it in list form or displaying it as you'd normally see it in Facebook. It displays it as a magazine. The interesting thing, so if you shared a link, say you shared a link out to the BBC News article tonight that, you know, Facebook and 100 million people,
yeah,
it wouldn't just show the link as it normally would in Twitter. What they're doing is going away and scraping that content and displaying the photo and also the content, and then the fact that you've shared that as well.
So basically the idea is that the people you follow on Twitter and the people you follow on Facebook, you're getting content that has been recommended or shared by them, and therefore hopefully that's of interest to you.
Yes.
And it's presented in a good looking manner.
It's presented really well, but when I say really well, basically they've animated a flip page so you can swipe through as if you're reading a book, but just presenting, I guess it's a way to scrape the content is the unique selling point, rather than it's actually looking like a book. So they're just getting a page of links and then having to click on the link and then say, well, I'll view it in Safari or I'll view it in Instapaper. They're saying, well, here's the content and here's all the comments and here's other people retweeting about it as well.
And interesting, it is that aspect of the scraping of the content from other websites that it potentially could get them into trouble.
I think so. This app's free. I guess the issue on day one, it was free. And by the time I downloaded it, they actually had to switch off Twitter and Facebook.
Right.
And the reason is, it looks like you're signing in and they're holding content on their servers. So they actually then turned it into, there's a new version of the app within 24 hours. And they turned it into, you signed up via email and they would let you in when they're ready. So that took for me 3 or 4 days. And on the first day, I actually felt really quite cold, because the way it works, you've basically got nine regions that you can add in content. So one's Twitter, one's Facebook, another 7 you can pick from a list. So they're saying, well, go and sign up to Engadget, or go and sign up to this other information source, or we've set up channels ourselves where we're scraping lots of different content on tech or design or architecture or cars or movies. So that all worked, but see, because it wasn't being shared by people you're following, it felt just like any other website online.
Yeah.
Certainly when you brought in Facebook and Twitter, it felt a lot more real. You know, it was actually when Shaquille posted some photos up and you signed in and there they were. It was almost like a magazine page of his content and what he's done. And it was really nice. And certainly when you're scrolling through it at night and instead of just looking through a Twitter list of links, etc., but seeing them as actual stories that you go and read, is actually very, very good. The reason they might get into trouble is the app's free. The revenue stream is they actually hope to talk to the content providers and do some sort of revenue sharing with them. But they're not using RSS. They're scraping some of this from the source websites. So there's a whole legal question around this that, you know, instead of me visiting Mashable, seeing the ads, maybe clicking on an ad and then getting revenue, if they scrape the content and present it in this app, why would they do a deal with them?
Yeah, I mean, quite often RSS feeds are cut down versions of the article to drag you to the site for that very reason, to get you presented with their adverts. And also there's rights on things like images that maybe get displayed. You know, if an editorial uses a Getty image or something, then they'll have strict rules on where they can and can't use that image. And if you're scraping that from their site into another website, effectively there is a copyright question mark over that.
Yes. But actually, once I finally got my invite, I'm using it every day, which is more than I can be said for maybe something like Pulse, which we recommended, or I think Shaquille talked about before. And I just stopped using, because I just defaulted back to Reader all the time.
Yeah, and so for me, this does look like, if they can get through these problems, it looks like a clever idea that's going to catch on.
Yeah, very much so. I guess as a summary as well, remember on the iPhone, there was a whole period of different Twitter apps coming out, until you actually settled on Tweety or whatever it was you used. On the iPad, it feels like these kind of RSS, Google Reader, scraping the viewing content in a magazine format. That seems to be the new kind of Twitter app.
Yeah.
all of the different ways of doing it, all of the different people try to do it in a what is the best way. And I think this is now we're starting to see some really quite more mature apps now coming out in the iPad now that it's been out for maybe, you know, certainly 2-3 months in America. You're now getting almost like the second wave of we understand the application, we understand how people want to interact with it.
Yeah, and the fact that the device is clearly a media consumption, so presenting social media in a readable way is what it's designed for.
Yeah, and I think also the sales being so much higher than probably people expected. They're now realising it's this is the second gold rush for the App Store.
Yeah, absolutely.
One app that we mention quite often, Skype. And we wouldn't be doing this podcast without it.
We certainly wouldn't.
They had previously announced an update to their app saying we now support calls over 3G. They also said that initially it would be free, but later in the year they plan to actually start charging for that.
Yeah, so, and that was on top of any data charges associated.
Which would be a real killer for a lot of people, because a lot of people saw this as the holy grail of, oh, I don't need to pay for calls anymore.
Yeah.
Two things that they announced this in the last week. The Skype app now works in the background on the iPhone. So if you're running iOS 4, it'll work in the background. You can receive Skype calls, instant messages, etc. While running any other app. More importantly, they will never charge for calls over 3G.
There we go. Perfect. Exactly what we wanted. So now it basically means that Skype on your phone is a really cheap and easy way of getting, free internet calls.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Perfect indeed. And the final, I've got an iPhone pick. didn't think about that. The final bit of Apple news, I guess. The BBC apps are finally approved.
Woohoo.
A couple of weeks ago.
It's not just Apple news, is it? This is mobile device news, really.
Yeah. So I talked a couple of weeks ago how you could set up a US account and go and get the BBC News app that way. But on the last Friday, on the 23rd, the BBC Trust announced that they'd approved the apps. And the news app was launched that day for both iPad and iPhone. Well, it's a universal app, so it's the same app.
And it's very nice.
It works well. They will be adding regional news in the future. One difference actually to the international one, doesn't stream telly, whereas the UK one does.
Yep, so you can actually sit there and watch the news, can't you, basically? Yes, it's News 24.
Yeah, the quality's excellent. You know, seeing the iPad, see just click and just watch now. Great. So regional news will be added in the future. And by the year end, BlackBerry and Android releases will be there as well.
Yeah, I think they're going to work on the RIM one next, and then Android.
That just sounds wrong.
Yep.
Work on the RIM. The where's the viz when you need it? See, the only thing that really hacks me off about this, the whole industry complaining about it and taking 3 or 4 months to review this.
Well, the reason they had the review in the first place was because the industry questioned the BBC's right to do this and questioned why the BBC was doing it when it was only supporting such a tiny percentage of their audience. And yeah, okay, it took them 3 or 4 months to come to the conclusion that they could do it, even though they had already. But I imagine that some of that delay is just to appease the industry. Read Sunday Times and Murdoch. So I don't really mind that it's taken a little while. They've come to the correct decision.
Speaking of industry.
Yes.
I come to the Daily Star.
That high quality paper.
I tell you, I read it every day. Anyway, I don't. So the Daily Star last week revealed that Grand Theft Auto Rothbury was in production. And
I don't even know what to say.
No, and I snapped this because I knew the story would disappear. And as I said to you before we started the podcast, I'm getting quite a nice collection of these now. Just basically crap getting written by newspapers.
Always write this crap, or is it becoming worse?
I think it's becoming worse.
I think it is. I think there's...
Because the whole... Because see the previously they would have to go through a whole load of stuff and then it's published in the paper. I know they would still publish rubbish in the paper, but the whole the whole getting things online quickly and getting stories up there and driving traffic, I think has just turned them into, you know, no better or worse than a blogger, just putting up anything they like.
So I think we better run through then what.
So the Daily Star, in their story, Daily Star expressed its fury at news that a Raoul, how do you pronounce it? Is it Raoul? Raoul Moat?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm terrible with pronunciations.
That's right, yeah.
So a Raoul Moat version of Grand Theft Auto was in production. Apparently gaming websites, but they didn't actually link to any. All they had was a really badly photoshopped, not even photoshopped, it was a Microsoft Paint image, which showed a cover of the version of the Xbox hit Grand Theft Auto that somebody had put in Rothbury. And it was going to be based around the recent Northumberland shootings. Even better, they went to Moat's ex-partner. They actually spoke to the sister. So this was the woman that had got shot. Spoke to her sister and they said, and she said, it is sick as blood money. Obviously, the whole lot of the tech community in the UK, a whole lot of the games press in the UK were outraged by this.
I mean, they said some pretty sick things about gamers in general. You know,
they did. Absolutely.
You know, these grown people playing games in darkened rooms and all that kind of stuff.
So, well, this is a journalist, Jerry Lawton, then defended his story. Baffled by the fury of adult gamers, these are grown ! men who sit around all day playing computer games with one another, who have today chosen to enter the real world just long enough to complain about my story. But his story was made up. And then he went on, you would think I denied the Holocaust. Think I'll challenge them to a virtual reality duel. Stab, I win.
Just, I mean, he's not... the guy's very detached arsehole. From the reality of who gamers are.
The guy's an arsehole.
Yeah.
Obviously, Rockstar being massive.
Rockstar, I can't imagine how they react to something like this. Cause...
Well, cue apology. So... couple of days later and the apology came out and this was published. We made no attempt to check the accuracy of the story before publication and did not contact Rockstar Games prior to publishing the story. We also did not question why a best-selling and critically acclaimed fictional game series would choose to base one of their most popular games on this horrifying real crime event. It is now accepted there were never any plans by Rockstar Games to publish such a game and that the story was false. We apologise for publishing the story, using a mock-up of the game cover, our own comments on the matter, and soliciting critical comments from a grieving family member. We unreservedly apologise to Rockstar Games and we have undertaken not to repeat the claims again. We have also agreed to pay them a substantial amount in damages which they are donating to charity. Absolute scum.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't believe anything you read.
Well, I guess what annoys me the most about this is the fact that I am an adult gamer, you know, and just getting tarnished with that brush yet again. I think that's the bit that annoyed me the most about the whole thing. It was just bollocks, just made up bollocks. And when you know it's made up bollocks because it's something that involves you or what you do, you then just start to question the whole thing. It's like, how much am I reading? It's just garbage. Back to WikiLeaks. That's why we need places like WikiLeaks. Anyway.
I don't think they'd waste their time with something like this, are they?
No, but I just mean like a lot of the time, just because it's in a certain paper, you just take it for granted that that's the truth. Yeah. I've read it. It must be true.
Yep.
Anyway, it's getting late.
It certainly is.
I'm getting ratty.
You need your bed.
We're going to the most important part of the show. It's our picks.
Absolutely.
I'll let you crack on first.
I will do that. And my pick this week is an Xbox Live Arcade game, which for me popped out of nowhere. I hadn't really heard anything. Then I saw it on the menu and it's called Limbo. And I did some digging around just to check that I wasn't going to waste my Microsoft points. And it's got some spectacular reviews. And I would like to add my spectacular review to it. The list. It's a completely unique game. It's completely black and white, mostly silhouetted. It's kind of creates this eerie atmosphere. It's actually quite scary at times. And there's like lots of little puzzles, and there's no dialogue, there's no color, there's virtually no sound. And you just get on with the game, and it's just very, very clever. I mean, I think the game is something like three acts long, and I'm not even through the first act. So I can't give a complete rundown, but everything I've come across so far is very clever. And some of the puzzles are just funny. Other ones are really frustrating, but then you have that satisfying moment when you crack, when you crack them. So if you haven't checked out Limbo, definitely download the demo. See what it's all about. It's an incredible game.
I think I'll be buying.
Well, it's definitely worth, there's a free demo as ever, so it's definitely worth having a look.
Yeah, one of my friends at work was raving about it as well.
Yep.
Excellent.
Most unique game I've seen in a while. Even, I mean, it's not completely unique in its concept, but just it's the whole presentation around it. It's you'll not forget it in a short while.
I think that's always the advantage of the arcade side of it, or even just the ones you can download in the PS3 as well. That is the one chance of actually doing a unique game.
Yeah.
Generally, the ones you buy, you know, the big title games, there's not a lot of uniqueness out there now.
I mean, the production values in this are huge, but done in a very clever way. So, you know, there's no need for huge, complicated models.
God damn it! I've just remembered a story I meant to put in. That was about games.
What's that?
I can't not say it now. Street Fighter and Tekken.
What about Street Fighter and Tekken?
there's going to be a Street Fighter X Tekken and a Tekken X Street Fighter.
Right.
So Capcom are going to produce the Street Fighter X Tekken and Namco are going to produce the Tekken X Street Fighter. It's 2 years away, but both games are going to feature the characters from each of the different titles.
Is it going to be the same game or are they going to be completely
different games?
Games.
Ah, okay, so the Capcom one's going to be based on that kind of Street Fighter 4 type engine. And okay. I think the Namco one will be based on whatever engine they're recently using for Tekken.
I mean, fighting games have never been my. I've never.
Oh, but this is big news. That's a massive, massive. I mean, it came out of nowhere this week. Nobody was expecting it, and they came out. See, when I read it at first, I was like, "Somebody's having a laugh here," and then they showed some screenshots, and I was like, "Bloody hell, it's true."
There you go.
There you go. Sorry to interrupt your pick.
That's right, I was done.
So, great pick. Mine's, just because I've mentioned this a couple of times, I don't think I've used it as a pick or actually talked about when I bought it, but the application itself is excellent. It's called Camera Plus for the iPhone. And we've mentioned a few camera apps before, and some of them have had, like, you know, different filters you can apply or you can mm-hmm. do some editing in them. And I just think Camera Plus has got everything in a fairly cheap package, rather than buying 3 or 4 separate apps. So you first start it up and it looks like you're using it's almost like you've got the kind of DSLR, you know, looking through a little lens, but mm-hmm. you can just click away from that. And it's got the kind of grid so you can make sure you're lined up. It's got anti-shake in it, so it tries to do it via, you know, figuring out if you're shaking a lot and it'll try to compensate. It's got some digital zoom. It supports certainly the iPhone 4 supports the light as well. And once you've taken your photo, it then goes into a kind of a Lightroom stage, so you can then crop it, rotate it, add. I don't know. I think there's about 20 or 30 different filters onto it. So all the different kind of Lomo effects and 70s and 60s effects, or black and white, or coloring, can do all that in it. You can then, you know, put some borders around it. And I just think, honestly, that is now my go-to app for taking a picture.
Do you know whether it's just iPhone 4 or is it all iPhone?
It is just iPhone 4, yeah. Okay. And the only reason I know that is that the company behind it are TapTapTap and they are iPhone exclusive. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're doing anything at the moment for another platform.
No, but do you know that it's... But are they only iPhone 4? Is it? Does it go back into 3GS and 3G?
Oh,
as well?
I see what you're saying. No, because I first bought it when I was on the 3GS.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. And it was only recent updates that brought along. It was only recent updates that brought along support for the kind of Retina graphics. Oh, and that was the other thing. On the iPhone, on the latest one, you can actually do a touch to focus and a second touch to change your exposure settings. So again, okay. That's something that you don't see in any other camera apps either. And I'm just firing up iTunes so I could try and find a price, because as usual, I didn't prepare. And I'm just kind of now stalling for time because it's like, oh, Oh, even better. It's brought up some Aztec camera. Just what I wanted. But no, it does.
Downloaded some more Reach videos during the week. I'm getting more excited about that now.
Ah, that's a nice film. Halo time.
Reach.
119.
There you go, 119.
And I will say there are lots of other apps called Camera Plus. So this is camera with an actual plus sign after it with no space. Because there's other ones in there with camera space plus and camera space plus, and it's a word plus. But Camera Plus, the ultimate, I think it's the ultimate photo app, and it's saying there's 60% off for a very limited time. And yes, I am thoroughly impressed.
Good stuff.
I'm just trying to see if there's anything else on here. No, I think I've said it all. And that's our show. I will reiterate your previous plea. We'd love you to jump onto iTunes and give us a rating. Obviously 5-star.
Maybe four.
No.
Four, you know, we've had a bit of a rubbish night.
Speak for yourself.
I was.
Fair enough. No, I think you've been excellent. You've been your usual. So take from that what you want. If you could jump on iTunes, we'd love it. Our website is
and join in the discussion as well on our website.
See, you do this so much better. You should host from now on. Every time you do these little bits, you just do it. You should now officially be our host.
Shall I just close for us?
Our website is on digitaloutbox.com. Join the discussion. Or you can email us at info@digitaloutbox.com and on Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. So if you want to leave an audio review, so if Tam picks up the magic trackpad or whatever it's called, I look forward to his review.
Yep.
Where can we find out more about you?
Twitter, Cheesy UK.
No blog?
No blog.
Bless.
Until I get it sorted.
Oh, that sounds like you're doing something.
Well, I might go up to WordPress 3 just to see what it's like.
Very good. I'm on ind.net and my Twitter is Shreeper. I really am struggling there. So on that note, we'll close. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
See you later. Bye. Bump. Sing the theme tune, play the theme tune.
Staying with, I guess this is staying with kind of like blows against, again, I'm trying to think of the right word. Really,
you were always
going to
struggle. I think you started on the
started off on the wrong foot. I
going down
to
something
that
that's far less important in the world.
So moving on, seamless. this is going to be in the edit.
Yeah.
Facebook has hit its 500 million. I'm never going to be able to pronounce this now. I'm going to start that again.
500 millionth users.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't work either.
I think I need to do it again. So, Facebook, they've announced they've hit their. I've done it again. I've messed up. See, when you mess something up and then you have to focus. I have got an ending this week anyway. I deliberately do this just so I've got an ending.